Open your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him." And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess to thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, being willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So this is a very interesting passage from the standpoint of the difference of the two men as they address Felix, and then also of some of the historical circumstances. So, in the first instance then, we have the high priest and those who were in the council with Paul. Not those who were in the temple, but those who were in the council with Paul, when Paul testified before the Sanhedrin. And they all came down to Caesarea, where Felix was, to testify against the apostle. But they said among themselves, now, this is Felix. This is the governor. We want to put our best foot forward, so let's get a good orator to come and make our case. And so they chose a man by the name of Tertullus, who was an orator. Probably means that he was a lawyer or advocate. That's probably what that means. So Tertullus comes, and may I say that his reputation is not exaggerated at all. He seems to be very much the orator as he addresses himself to Felix. What do we hear from him? Well, we hear flattery, first of all, in verses 3 through 5. We hear a feigned care for his state in verse 5. We hear outright lies in verse 6. And then we hear fudging or coloring the truth or exaggeration in 6 and 7. Certainly, Tertullus proves himself up for the task of presenting the Jews' case in as good a light as perhaps he could have done. Notice, however, that in so doing, he makes an accusation that is not true. The Apostle Paul was not profaning the temple. Okay? That is the charge for which he was arrested. And what had they supposed? Do you remember from a few chapters back? They had supposed that the Gentiles that they saw Paul with in the city were conducted by Paul into the temple beyond the court of the Gentiles, into the place where only the Jews who were cleansed could go. Okay? And so he is profaning the temple in that sense, according to their accusation. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says exactly opposite to that, where he answers the accusation with the truth. He said that, number one, they have accused me of profaning the temple, but actually they found me purified in the temple. Did you hear him say that? They found me purified in the temple. So it's impossible that he was profaning the temple. Rather, he was purified when he appeared in the temple. And seeing that he is a Jew, he was exactly, according to that standard, right where he belonged. He was right where he belonged at that point. And in the estate he belonged in, a purified estate. Remember, that was after he had bought out the vow with the other three men, or four men, and purified himself, and then went into the temple. And so Paul has done everything according to Jewish law. Now, he would know that scrupulously. That's how he was raised. Okay? So, first of all, then, we hear the flattery of Tertullus, and then we have the expressed care. We receive so many good things from you. I don't want to be too tedious to you beyond the goodness that you've already shown, in other words. Okay, so again, he proves himself quite an orator. Now, all of the Jews that were there with Tertullus, they all assented to what he said. But I want you to make sure and understand that when Paul gives his defense, he says, none of these guys were here in the temple. If those men that were in the temple and saw me there have an accusation to make, let them come down and make their accusation. That would be a proper order of things. These men They didn't see me anywhere around the temple. They simply weren't there. Now, if these men have something to bring against me where they did witness, where I was in the council, if they have something to witness from there, then let them say something like that. So you see what Paul does. He shows himself incredibly consistent and credible in everything that he does. He is perfectly credible. I know I just made a faux pas in my speech. I said he was incredibly credible. I get that. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to say it that way. He was quite credible in everything that he said. He is saying, if there is a just accusation, then let us entertain it here. This is the place for that. Okay, so there's a very important distinction that is made between Tertullus and the Apostle Paul here. The Apostle Paul speaks credibly, without flattery, and he speaks from the basis of truth, and he speaks from the basis of reason before the law. These men weren't there. They didn't see it. They can't witness to it. Tertullus wasn't there. He didn't see it. He can't witness to it. The high priest wasn't there. He didn't see it. He can't witness to it. Let the men that were there come down and accuse me. Or, if these men have something whereof I misbehaved in the council where they actually were witnesses, let them bring their accusations. And we can address them. A little bit later on, the Apostle Paul is going to say, if I have done something worthy of death, I refuse not to die. We're going to hear that from him. The Apostle Paul, because of his faith in Christ, was a supporter of civil magistracy, not a rebel against it. But he is also a supporter of the truth, and he desires that these things be done according to truth and the means of ascertaining the truth. And of course, this is simply coming out of Old Testament law. You have to be there in order to witness to something. You can't make an accusation not having been there. Okay, so all of that is very clear, and that takes up the first section. The second section is Paul's answer, and that would be verses 10 through 21. And then a little bit later, so we have covered most of that. So then Felix said that he was going to call Claudius Lysias, and that he was going to have him come down, and when he comes down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. In other words, let's get somebody that can verify what's been said here. Here's someone I trust. He's one of, he's an upright magistrate. We can trust what he has to say. Let's get him here. Now, the sincerity of Felix in that statement comes in question when we recognize that it is over 2 years and Paul is still in custody. And there is even some more information in this passage to tell us that perhaps Felix was not credible when he said that, because he kept Paul and he entertained him often to hear what Paul had to say, but it was Felix's own covetousness, hoping that he would receive money from the Apostle Paul, that kept Paul in prison for 2 years, kept him in custody for 2 years. But it was also Felix's own covetousness that made him the subject of gospel preaching for over 2 years as well. Okay, so it's a very interesting and almost ironic situation here that Felix says, I'm going to call for Claudius Lysias, and when he comes, we'll know the uttermost of your matter and we can put this thing to rest. And yet it's 2 years, he's never come, and the only activity is Felix calling for Paul to come quite often to him and hoping to receive money from him so that Paul would be released. Okay? For Paul's part, however, we see consummate integrity, that Paul refuses to spend money to be released in a matter for which he's innocent, and also he has Rome on the horizon, so he knows where he's going there. But notice the other side of that question, and that is that Paul, when he is brought before Felix, instead of playing nice with Felix, he reasons of righteousness and judgment to come. Right? In other words, he preaches the gospel to him over and again. And Felix, for his part, it says that he trembled. He trembled when he heard of righteousness and, what was it, temperance, right? When he heard of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, it says that he trembled. I want to make sure. Righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. Yeah. Felix trembled. And then he answered, "Go your way for now. And when I have a convenient season, I'll call you." Well, it seems that he called him often. But we can be fairly certain that every time he called him, and to see if Paul was willing to pay him, he got something much more worthwhile than silver and gold. He received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's also take a little bit of a lesson from Felix here. Notice he trembled at the preaching of the gospel. Some would say, "I've trembled, that's enough." Right? But it wasn't enough. Felix was not a converted man. Oh, he was moved by the preaching of the gospel. That's why sometimes, I've had people come to me after a sermon and they'll tell me, "That was very moving, Pastor." Anything else? Sometimes moving is not quite enough, right? Sometimes it is, obviously, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes being moved is not quite enough. Felix was moved, but he wasn't converted. So let us be careful then not to rest partway to the celestial city, right? But to enter in the gate. Felix never entered in, so much as we know, but he was moved. All right, this ends the reading then of Acts chapter 24. Let's